Stories of Mission 2 by Bob Truby, a presentation given at the InterVarsity Graduate and Faculty Ministries National Staff Conference on March 19, 2013.
All right. Well, it's great and humbling at the same time to be with you guys and to speak about what God's been doing at Ohio State and teaching us over the years. I know there are people who are in this room who were in this room the first time I came to GFM meetings and who I look up to as the real pioneers in many ways of GFM ministry and have learned immensely from. So it's humbling to speak to you. I'm also humbled because of some of the reports I hear from some of you who are new in GFM and the cool things that God's doing through you. I'm learning from you, and I am really grateful for the fact that we can be in partnership and hopefully be a learning community that's listening to each other and listening to the Lord about what he's calling us to. Kathy mentioned I've worked with GFM for a number of years. I actually started on staff in the fall of 1976. I know that's scary. Some of you weren't around then. That's okay. I'm sure glad you're here. You don't need just a lot of us old guys doing this thing. And I worked for 20 years in undergraduate ministry, all of which were in Ohio in different places. I served as an area director in Ohio for undergraduate ministry for 16 years. I moved out of that work in 96, 97. Sort of God kind of closed some doors to further advancement at that time in InterVarsity, and I had to ask the question of where next. And thanks be to God and to Cam Anderson, GFM was the answer to that. And I have had the most delightful 16 years since then working in grad and faculty ministry at Ohio State. I love grad and faculty ministry. I love Ohio State. You know, I'm sorry, Michigan people. But I really do love that campus. It hasn't always loved us, but that's been part of the challenge too, is really loving a place that doesn't always love you, doesn't always welcome you, and yet God calls us into and calls us to love. It's been a wonderful journey in many ways. I feel like this assignment of sharing something of our missional journey is a little bit like that old assignment of define the universe in 25 words or less, giving three examples. It feels a bit like that after 16 years at Ohio State. But I'm going to begin in what might seem an odd place, although both of my sisters who have preceded me have talked about elements of this as well. It seems, and as Kathy and I were comparing notes, it seemed like God might be saying something to us in that. And that, for me, is that again and again, I have been impressed that the practice of attentiveness to the Lord is central, I believe, to what God's called me into at Ohio State, and I think called us into in this work. We need to be attentive people. This is a distracted age. There are so many things coming at us in so many directions. And I'm convinced that we need to be people who are attentive to the Lord. When I first made the transition from undergraduate work to GFM ministry, one of my initial discoveries was how much I didn't know about the university after 20 years of working at one. How much I especially didn't understand about the life of graduate students and faculty in the university. I was blessed in my first years in GFM staff to have several faculty in a group that we call the Dead Theologian Society that still meets. One of those faculty in particular, Mike Foster, who's now on the New England area team working with Bill, Mike was just a marvelously gracious tutor to me through those years of helping explain the university to me and help me to understand his life as a faculty member, how the institution worked, what the experience of graduate students was, the people that he advised. He was very patient. I had lots of questions and showed lots of stupidity. And he was marvelous. As we began to form or reform a grad community, there was a community there at one time when Nan Thomas actually started the first grad work at Ohio State back in the late 80s, early 90s. After she moved to Tennessee, the group dwindled, and we were in essentially a replanting situation. And as we began, the first year really was a time of prayer. We had several grad students, Ramona, Lily, and a few others, who would meet every Friday about noon for prayer. And that was the principal thing we did probably for the first year, really prayed about for other grad students. We did a few other events, but mostly we were praying, and I think that was an essential experience for us. But along the way, Ramona and Lily and others listened to all my dumb questions about grad life, things that they knew inside and out that I didn't understand. I'm so grateful. Attentiveness has continued to be part of work with individual students. The penny first dropped for me in a meeting with Amy a number of years ago. Amy was a statistics grad student, and she talked with me in a meeting about the disconnect that she was experiencing between her life with God and her academic work. And I asked her if she had ever prayed before she sat down to her work or prepared to teach a class or meet a student. And she said, it was kind of this blank stare. It's like, that just hadn't occurred to me. And that was followed by her curiosity of, I wonder why it didn't. And we began to press into that and begin to realize this profound sacred-secular split that just so shapes us in terms of how we engage work and separate it from our spiritual life. And over again over the years, I think that that's been foundational, not only for knowing Christ's presence in our work, but in the development of a Christian mind and bringing that mind into our work. I think it's the Lord wants to illumine our understanding as we do our work in the university. I often talk with grad students that actually you're not the first person. You're not extending knowledge where nobody has gone before. There is somebody who's been there, and you're joining them, and they're excited that you are actually interested in these things, and they want to help you in the pursuit. And I think, such a different perspective. This past week, I was talking with one of our graduate students who is in a PhD program but is thinking of leaving with her master's because she can't land on a research topic. And it might be the right course for her to leave. We're still praying through that. But one of the things that I asked her was, have you asked the Lord about this? Have you asked the Lord to give you something that's compelling? You do need that to go through all that work. And she said, you know, it just hadn't occurred to me. So we prayed on that. And then I asked her, so what are you going to do to be listening to God so that as he gives you ideas, you're paying attention? And so we talked about the idea of keeping a research journal where she would begin to capture, as she's reading articles, as she's in seminars and other things that pique her attention. Those may be ways that God is getting her attention. It's kind of doing lectio on her, you know, with her research work. One of the ways that we try to teach attentiveness corporately, and many of you do this as well, is through manuscript Bible study. Every year we do a series in our large groups doing manuscript study in a section of the text. This year we've been working through the Upper Room Discourses in John. We have students who actually lead, and that's one of the ways that we train people to lead small groups, is through going through some manuscript leading training and then leading those groups and debriefing that. But one of the things that we focus on is the importance of careful observation and asking questions of the text. And we highlight in that the discipline of attentiveness, of observing to understand without forcing conclusions. And we talk about how this will spill over into your academic work as well. That That's critical to doing good research in any field. And the kind of attentiveness we're practicing is communal attentiveness. We're doing this together. We're not just doing this individually. And that can help us as we foster learning communities in our academic research groups or subspecialties. Attentiveness also often calls us into the life of faith and risks of faith. Joining GFM for me meant leaving an AD position, leading a team of 15 staff, to working with a handful of grad students who are attempting to replant grad ministry, who weren't even sure if this thing was worth it and going to work. And I'm thankful to be able to say that God met us in that. I says, "Why, this is going out on a limb, and I'm not sure there's anything under it." As I observe faculty who maintained a vital testimony to Christ in the midst of the demands and pressures of university life, what struck me is that they were people of faith who had continued to take risks at key points in their lives and trusted God for the success and significance of their work. And those observations led me at one point to work up a piece called Critical Junctures that we use in our new staff training, looking at how, in a sense, grad school and the early years of faculty work can be a formational process in people's lives, that God creates instances where they're called upon to take risks of faith and to step into trusting God in new ways. I believe that it was just thinking through all the experiences that I'd seen among grad students and talking and looking at the lives of faculty that I just began to scribble all that down. Actually, one afternoon while my son was volunteering at a local library. Sometimes the critical junctures happen for an individual and a group together. One story I think of is several years ago, I sat down with Se-kyung. Se-kyung was a Korean social work doctoral student who had been involved in our group for a couple of years. He was had helped with our worship and in some other areas, was faithful in prayer, and actually had, you know, for him... as he actually wanted to be part of an American fellowship, even though he was very involved in a Korean church. And I said, actually, we really want that. We don't want to be just an American fellowship. And we had gone through a season of stagnation as a group. We had few new people coming in, and a number of our key leaders were graduating. And so I asked Se-kyung if he would step into the role of president of our group. And I talked to him about the qualities that I'd seen in this, but seen in him that suited him for this. We looked at 1 Peter 5 together, and we talked about that and the call to shepherd God's flock and to do that willingly. He wasn't willing, actually. And I was pretty desperate, to be honest. Some of you have been in that place, and you're ready to really twist some arms a little bit. And I was there, actually. And so I kind of pushed back at him and said, "Would you be willing to pray and seek the counsel of your pastor?" It occurred to me in the midst of this that in his context anyhow, that he probably couldn't do this anyhow unless his pastor really blessed that. And I felt like that was actually quite important. I was rolling the dice because I thought his pastor would say, "No, we really need you in the church." You know, but I said, I felt like if the pastor said yes, it had to be of the Lord and God would work. Well, thanks be to God, he said yes. And he said, "I think you need to do this." And he released him to do that and encouraged him to accept the position. And he said he would do so with God's help. And that was a turning point for our fellowship. Se-kyung led us in praying for our new student outreach efforts and just was there and faithful. He described to me recently, he said, "I felt like what I did was just showed up every week and prayed." And I said, "I think that was pretty significant, Se-kyung." And actually, Sarah Bernstein, who's on our team now, was one of the new students who came in that year in our new student outreach. Recently, Se-kyung told me about how he was speaking to a group of potential leaders at his church. And he told this story of how I had talked to him about being in leadership and shared 1 Peter 5, with a group of potential leaders and in calling them and inviting them to hear God's call for leadership. It was encouraging to me that that we could return the blessing, in a sense, in his church in some significant ways. I mentioned our new student outreach. Beginning that year, we started trying several new initiatives in our new student outreach. One was that we began offering a free book as a way of soliciting contact information from interested grad students. We've used James Emery White's A Mind for God and John Stott's Your Mind Matters. We have an alumnus who has been generous in supporting that effort each year. It's led us to collecting as many as 120 new contacts with students through our NSO efforts. We also do a number of other things, including introducing people to some of the best ice cream in Columbus at Grater's. Some would say Jenny's is better. I'm still a Grater's fan. Our follow-up team is committed to trying to send a personal email to every new person within 24 hours and personally visiting those who attend one of our events. We're realizing through that we need to keep working and building our follow-up teams, that many hands makes for light work. Up to this time, in our new student outreach, we've planned primarily on the assumption that all our NSO contacts would be Christians. And we began to meet particularly Chinese students who were not, and we realized we had not planned in terms of any of our follow-through efforts with the expectation that God would bring non-Christians into our community. And so we started addressing that and launched some Exploring Christianity Bible studies as one of the offerings that we provided for new students each fall, and have had students involved in that and have seen at least one person come to faith through that effort. This past year, we realized that we were losing many new grad students due to a limited number of small groups. Part of it was just really being attentive as we were evaluating our efforts and really looking at, we get a lot of contacts, we lose a lot of them. And we said, what's going on with that? And what's the Lord bidding us into? And we realized much of our efforts were centered around our Friday evening meetings, and we only had a couple of small group offerings, and we were missing a lot of people who couldn't make Friday nights for one reason or another and weren't able to engage. And so some of our leaders were willing actually to step into leading those small groups, and we launched 4 new groups this fall. We saw about 20 additional new students join us as a result of that. And it's interesting that our small groups are also showing us and reminding us again of how critical those groups can be in our discipleship and integration efforts. Many of you read The Critical Journey in new staff training, or were supposed to at least. In stage 4, it talks about the inward journey. And we're realizing that many of our grads are at this place as they realize that a lot of the answers of the earlier years in their Christian experience just aren't working as they get into the grad context. And as I work with our small group leaders, I'm seeing that our small groups have been a key place where people are opening up about questions and doubts and their intellectual journeys, and sharing those with each other. I'm seeing posts on our Facebook page where students say, boy, I'm so glad I found a group where I can talk about these things. I sometimes wonder if it would be helpful if we had a place on our AFRs to list the number of people who didn't deconvert as a result of our communities. Wouldn't that be nice? We're continuing to wrestle with this issue of the journey into mission, as the rest of you are as well. We still only see a trickle of people coming to faith. I'd love to see that trickle become a river. Part of it, again, comes to attentiveness to the people around us. I find that unless we're intentional and continue to be intentional, the question of are you praying for the people in your lab or your research group or your department gets the blank stare. And we need to teach that year in and year out. Resources like 2+, the card, can actually be a really helpful tool in just beginning to encourage the kind of attentiveness and awareness of, oh yeah, maybe God wants to do something in the lives of these people, and maybe I can be a part of that. We've also sought to develop a posture in which we're engaging the university in a conversation rather than a confrontation around the gospel. One of our earliest ventures actually was when Kathy and her husband Keith were still at Ohio State. We launched a venture called Conversation and Cuisine, and Keith actually was pretty helpful to me in thinking this through. While he was in his MFA program, he actually worked part-time with us in grad ministry at Ohio State, and I've got some wonderful memories of teamwork with Keith during those years. In more recent years, we've done things like departmental reading groups. One of our grad students is doing right now, for example, in political science, where they've taken books from people like anything from Christopher Hitchens to Tim Keller, and gone back and forth between books authored by Christians and non-Christians around issues that are arising in the department, and are mixed groups of Christians and non-believers. We've done a series last year called Deal Breakers that identified some of the issues, and we actually asked people to survey their friends around some of the issues that prevented them from coming to faith, and then did a series and actually tried to invite people to engage us in conversation around those deal-breaker topics, where it wasn't just the Christian giving a Christian response to that, but actually having somebody in the room who could push back at that response. That was helpful in bringing people. We actually did some of that in conjunction with our Veritas Forum last year, which we did in conjunction with the Secular Students Alliance on the discussion of reason and faith and how that's looked at by Christians and atheists. And we did several events with that group together, including a film night where we did the film Collision, which is the relationship that Douglas Wilson and Christopher Hitchens had together before Christopher Hitchens died. One of our chapter leaders went to Urbana and is convinced that she needs to start a Luke Bible study. She just finished her candidacy exam, so she's put that off, but has several friends that she's actually inviting into a Luke study with her. Next month, our Council of Graduate Students has actually invited us to host a seminar on spirituality in grad school, and we're putting together a panel of not only Christians, but Muslim, Jewish, and secular students to talk about that. That's an exciting bridge. I continue to be challenged by the question of who's not at our table yet. You know, whether it's departments, ethnicity groups, other affinity groups. One of those areas for us is wanting to continue to grow in multi-ethnicity. We've had a number of international students involved with us over the years. We've had a scattering of African-American students involved with us. We have an African-American student on our leadership team this year. But we want to grow in that, and I'm not sure what God wants to do with that at Ohio State. We meet in the Black Cultural Center on campus. We have developed a great relationship with the staff and the director there. He calls us one of their best tenants. And I said, well, you know, that's interesting language, but I'll take that. And we've gotten to be good friends. One of our grad students, actually, Bobby mentioned her the other night, Caitlin Hansen, blogs on racial reconciliation, actually something that came out of her undergraduate intervarsity experience, and has been working with our leadership team in developing relationships with our Black graduate and professional student caucus. Actually, we have a group of folks going to a Gospel and Step show together this Sunday, for example. I don't know where that's going to go and what that ought to look like. We're trying to be attentive to God in that. That's, I think, part of it that's been part of it throughout the journey for me, is to say, how does the Lord want to continue to lead it? It's what's drawn together all the different strands of GFM work for me. I don't think integration of faith, learning, and practice and wanting to grow as communities and thinking rigorously about that have to be opposed to each other. Both of these are aspects of being attentive to what God's doing in our presence and in our movements on campus. I hope the Lord will continue to grant us to grow in those things together as a community, and to begin to think and to think even more, how can God give us communities that are extensive enough to do the things that we dream of in engaging the university? May it be so. Thanks.